Praise God. So before I start, let me just start a prayer before we get into the word. Those of you who know this hymn, I want to invite you to join.
Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now that you push back every distraction. I pray that your spirit fill this room. I pray that our hearts become humbled now. I pray that you anoint my lips, my mind, and my heart. Lord, I hide behind the shadow of your cross. Please be with each and every single one of us today. Lord, we are here to hear your message. I pray that we take it home and we apply it to our life. God, we love you and we need you because we know you're coming. But prepare us. So Lord, now I ask, fill this room up again. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen. So John 3:19, I want to invite you to grab your Bibles. We're going to be looking through scriptures. John 3:19-20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Brothers and sisters, are we walking in the light given to us? Or are we professing to be Christians? Should we get an Oscar award for being Christians? But brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, do we like to sin more than we like righteousness? I want to invite you now, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Those of you who know this, the temptation of man. Let's read. Verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Brothers and sisters, we know from verses 1 through 3 that the light was given to Adam and Eve. But the devil came and tempted her. So he began to question God's light. How many times are we questioned about our faith? Verse 4, And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. You see, verse 4, brothers and sisters, we hear that every day in our lives. Come on, it's just one time. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Just once. Go to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Brothers and sisters, how many of us have a favorite fruit that we know we should stay away from? How many times do we eat that food and the next thing you know we say, I'm going to regret this. This is going to kill me. Now, brothers, verse 7 is striking. And the eyes of them were both open. And they sewed fig leaves and made themselves aprons. How many times in our life do we like to fix ourselves from our mistakes? We try to do everything on our own. We try to pretend we know it all. But brothers and sisters, we don't know nothing until we know Jesus. Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. How many of us have a dog? How many of us forgot to lock up the dog in a certain way and knew he was going to chew something up? What happens when we come home? Rover, what are you doing? What do? They hide and quiver in the corner. But brothers and sisters, we sometimes go overboard and spank the dog or punish the dog, but God looks at us the same way. We're not dogs, don't get me wrong. We're not dogs. The principle. God looks at us the same way when we sin, when we break his commandments. But does he get mad at us? Does he get angry at us? Does he change? The God does not change. Amen. He loves us unconditionally. He makes us his everything. He desires to be with us, but we push him away. Now, brothers and sisters, let's continue. Verse 12 and 13. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now this is where pride comes in. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave to me, and I did eat. So we see here that man is blaming the woman. But in reality, if we look a little closer, he is not only blaming the woman, he is blaming God. How many times do we blame God for the things that happen in our life? You know, sometimes it's uncontrollable. And God sees that. And he still loves you. We may not love him at the moment, but God is waiting on you. He's waking you up every day. He's allowing you to see the people you have in your lives now. He's bringing people to your life that is going to help you change. Now, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So, brothers and sisters, we all know the woman in Bible prophecy is a church. So let's put it into context. And the Lord said unto the church, what hast thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. But brothers and sisters, again, the church blames God. Satan was made by God, so they blame God again. Brothers and sisters, we have a choice whether to serve God or mammon. Now we all know that pride is a very difficult thing to deal with. But first, let us know, what is the love of God? 1 John 5:3. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. I'm going to be reading from the New King James. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. What is the love of God? That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Sometimes we like to choose what commandment works for us a certain day. Today, I'm not going to covet what my neighbor has. Today, I don't feel like murdering you. Not physically. You see, we're so nonchalant about these things. We say we love God, but yet another thing, our lives profess otherwise. 1 John 3:8-9 says, or 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil. Brothers and sisters, he who sins is of the devil. And we all know that sin is the transgression of the law. But what is the law? God's love. And the wages of sin is death. Then what can possibly cause us to not love God? There are many factors. Only God knows. I can't sit here and understand or explain why, but God knows your circumstances. When Jesus says himself, though, in Luke 18:27, what's impossible for man is possible with God. Brothers and sisters, we need to get rid of our pride. Our pride is what truly separates us from the love of God. Our pride is what causes us to push back. And instead of saying, "I'm sorry, love, would you forgive me?" we'll just give her the cold shoulder. And it becomes even more of a problem. We're a very prideful society. We pride ourselves in our hair. We pride ourselves in our bodies. We pride ourselves in the way we look and dress, makeup, children, titles, money and cars, and sports teams. We're willing to wear a sports jersey and profess, Raider till I die. But we are afraid to profess God, who died for us physically and lives today. Brothers and sisters, if we have that much to give to a sports team, what does God get? You know, even our knowledge can be our pride. Pen of Inspiration writes, "We have many lessons to learn and many to unlearn. God and heaven alone are infallible. Those who think they will never have to give up a cherished view, never have occasion to change an opinion, will be disappointed. As long as we hold on to our ideas and opinions with determined persistency, we cannot have the unity of which Christ prayed." That's profound, brothers and sisters. Do you hold on to your knowledge as all the light in the world? Do you think all that you know is all that you need? Brothers and sisters, we are nothing without Jesus. We need the knowledge of Christ with it. He wants to write it in our hearts. But what's in our hearts? Social media, money, cars, but where is Christ? Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess men before me, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." How many times in the workplace, brothers and sisters, have you stepped back from a chance to witness? How many times did you doubt yourself and say, I don't want them to see me as a Christian? Brothers and sisters, Jesus was persecuted because of us. He died in our darkness so we could live in his light. Revelation 3, the Spirit speaking to the Laodicean. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Brothers and sisters, will you let Jesus in? Aren't you tired of fighting and scraping to prove yourself to the world? Brothers and sisters, let Jesus in. All you have to do is open the door. Brothers and sisters, he's not going to force his way in. He's going to politely love you until you open the door with humility and humbleness. But we, brothers and sisters, like to sit on the thrones of our hearts. We like to be God in our life. It's dangerous, brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes on God no matter what's going on, and God will take you through. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't you want rest, brothers and sisters? Aren't you tired of fighting? Aren't you tired? Family, did you know that all vanity is sin? I want to share you the definition of vanity excessive pride in or admiration of one's own appearance or achievements, conceit, narcissism, self-love, self-admiration, self-absorbed, self-regard, egotism, pride and arrogance, boastfulness, cockiness, vain glory. Brothers and sisters, we cherish vanity more than we cherish God. But praise God, He still loves us. He still wants us. He's still fighting for you. He's still fighting for you even when you push Him away. Even when we say, Lord, I promise I'll never do it again, you fall. The Lord is right there waiting. Come to me, my son. My yoke is light. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, are you proud today? Or are you humble right now because of the word of God? Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then comes shame. With the lowly is wisdom. Pride keeps us from saying, I'm sorry. Pride keeps us from forgiving. Pride keeps us from being patient with someone who's intolerable. God deals with us. How much better are we than the person we're sharing, or the person we're looking at or judging? Pride keeps us from forgiving ourselves of the past. The past is the past. Jesus wants you to live for today. You are saved. You are redeemed. He died for you. Never look back. It's only when you look back is when your life becomes history. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a proud spirit before a fall. We see that in Daniel 5, Belshazzar takes the gold and the silver cups and drinks it because he's so prideful with the wine. And what happens? The same night, he's done. There's no more. Brothers and sisters, it takes one time to be so prideful to our spouses, to our friends, and you can lose their trust. You can lose their love. And you can blame yourself and beat yourself down for not. How many of us have ever done that? We've gotten to the point where proudness and pride takes control of our lives, and we become so involved in it that we hurt the people around us, that we forget that they have feelings, because it's all about us. And then you go home or go into your room and say, what was I thinking? But what is stopping you from saying you're sorry? Your pride. Like Adam in the beginning, he pointed at the woman and blamed her for his problems, but pointed at God for his problems, when really, it's our decisions. I saw a post on, I think it was Becky Hart's media page, about, this one struck me, Proverbs 29, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. It said, no one ever choked and died by swallowing their pride. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Have you ever choked and died swallowing your pride? You're still here? I'm still here. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we all know that being a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. 1 John 2:16, the desires of flesh mean wanting your own way. The desires of the eyes mean wanting everything for yourself. And the pride of life is wanting to appear important. All we do is want, 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 want. But do we give? God wants to write his laws in our inward parts and write it in our hearts. But brothers and sisters, the sad reality is we want to be God. We want to sit on the thrones of our hearts. We want to be in control of all things of our lives. We don't want to give anything to God if it hinders us from loving the world. Sometimes we need to surrender all that we have to God, but it's so hard, isn't it? But yet we see Job, we see Abraham leaving it all for Jesus. By faith, they went. Brothers and sisters, turn with me. It's the last scripture I'll be reading to you. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 26. What spirit do you have in you? What spirit do you have in you? When you're there, please say amen. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of sin. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do we still hold on to any of these in the scriptures, brothers and sisters? I know I have a few. I'm standing right here with you. But I know God could use me, because God used the donkey to Balaam to convert him. I'm not a donkey. I'm a regular human being called to God's kingdom, to preach his word, to wake us up. I've never pastored in my life. I'm afraid. I'm terrified to be up here. But because I believe in the promises of God and I know he will fill me up to the full, I will stand here in front of you and preach my heart out for his love. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, humbleness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you today. I'm wrapping up right now. I want to ask you today, are you carrying anger? Are you carrying bitterness? Are you carrying a grudge? Are you carrying hatred? Are you carrying a heavy burden? And all you want to do is be free from all that heaviness on your shoulders. And you want rest and a peace that only Jesus can give. Is it hard to forgive still? Is it hard to say I'm sorry? Is it hard to be kind to somebody who is unlovable? Is it hard to be patient? Is it hard to let go of the past? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite those right now who feel that they still hold on to something. Will you give your heart to Jesus? Will you stand for Jesus right now? Right where you're at. Will you stand for Jesus? Is Jesus calling you to let go? Please let go, my son, my child. I love you. Don't hold on. I can give you rest. My yoke is light. My burden is light. Will you give Jesus a chance? Will you let him into your heart? Are you ready to let go of all the things that's causing you pain in your life? Are you ready to let go, brothers and sisters? Then please bow your heads with me as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask now that you touch each and every single one of our hearts today, that they go home seeking you with love. God, forgive us, for we are failures. We are stuck in this flesh, in this world. We know you're coming, Lord. Please hurry your return so we can see you and cast our crowns at your feet. God, we need you in our daily lives, in our daily studies. God, let us give more time to you. Let us seek you with all our hearts and all our mind and soul. Lord, you can give us what this world cannot. Let us just humble ourselves. Let us become more Christ-like. God, be with us now as we leave. Strengthen us. Guide us. Let our lips be lips of love and not of evil. God, we miss you. We're tired. We're all weak. But we're fighting the good fight. God, we need you again. We need all of you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Be with us as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen.